Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And we saw in verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, you know that fire and brimstone, that's what God sent on Sodom and Gomorrah. So, doesn't look like it's outdated, does it? Anyway, if I had made a chart about the second coming or the end time things, the first thing we would have on it, the beginning, the end times, would be the opening of the six seals in Revelation chapter 6. And then we would go through the sixth seal, and we would have the midst of that week, the 7-year period of time, in the middle of it. And then I would guess the rapture and all would take place somewhere about there. Then you'd have in heaven would be the judgment seat of Christ. And then you'd have on earth the wrath of God, the time of the wrath of God. So you'd have the great tribulation, the wrath of God, the middle of it. And then to the end of the wrath of God, you'd be at the end of the 70th week, Daniel's 70th week. And you'd, of course, have this here in chapter 20. But then one of the big things there would be the white throne judgment. So, that's where we are now, towards at the end of Daniel's 70th week. So a lot of time has elapsed here. And you had a 1,000-year millennial reign and all. So, but the very end of it, you would have this. And then the new heaven and the new earth, and then the eternal ages. But so chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so this is the account of the great white throne judgment. Now, we mentioned before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ takes place in heaven. After we call it rapture, the Bible doesn't use that word, but the taking out of God's people. And at the judgment seat, or the word there in the Greek is bema. So folks that know that, they like to call that the bema judgment. Well, that's why, because that Greek word is there. But we call it the judgment seat of Christ. And so, only saved people are judged there. No lost people are. But here we have the great white throne judgment, which is completely different. Now, I was even surprised at the commentators that teach a general judgment, that there's just one big judgment. But couldn't be anything further from the truth. I can't remember who it was now. George Boyer, did you ever hear him? I believe it was him that had a sermon. I had his book, loaned it out, never got it back. But he had a book of sermons, and one of his sermons was Five Phony Generals. And I think I can maybe remember all of his points. But phony, false generals. That would be a general atonement. That he died for everybody. That's phony. A general church. Universal invisible church. And then a general judgment. Now I don't know whether I got the other two or not. You remember? But anyway, it's not a general judgment. And I don't know why they refuse to see the differences. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Hold the place there. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Now he's writing in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Assuming that the majority of these people are saved. I heard a couple of preachers one time, I believe most of my church is lost. I told them, I said, you better get to work, buddy. You got a big problem. What are you doing receiving lost people into your church? I don't assume my church members are lost. I assume they're saved. Now every now and then you have somebody that was deceived or mistaken, but not very often. So he starts out chapter 5. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal into heaven. And he's talking to saved people. And he's talking about dying and going to be with the Lord. He said, verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle, this body do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He said, now, verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, you can't refer that to everybody in the world. That doesn't refer to, I've heard preachers do that at funerals. Apply it to everybody. That's not true. That is not a general true statement. That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're not saved, it's not true.
Amen.
Then he says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him or well pleasing to him. For we, now who's he talking to? Keep it in context. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, that's not the great white throne judgment. That everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, that's talking about the same thing he's talking about in 1 Corinthians. Wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Judging your works. Now, he said, I saw a great white throne. Well, great. I don't know whether we have the capacity to understand that great. This is the end time. This is when it's all over. And who's going to be here? That's why it's great. It's white because of the purity of it. And it is his throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Well, think about that. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, just how big is the heaven? We don't know yet. And how big is the earth? They talk about the earth being a small planet. It really isn't a small planet. Try to walk over it. I mean, you can't do it. Walk from east coast to west coast. Take you a long time to do that, just in the United States. Then you got to either cross the Pacific or cross the Atlantic. Now, roll your boat. You better have a good pair of rowing arms, because it's a long ways across that Pacific. It's a long ways across the Atlantic. Then you got to get into Europe or get into China. And it's a lot longer way from Europe all around back to China than it is cross country here. It's a big place. Then you got to go north to south like that. You got an awesome size here. But it's huge. But it says that before whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Hold your place there and look at Psalm 97. Verse 1, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof, clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him, and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The Lord, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. So, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was no place for them. There you go. Isaiah 51. Verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. So vanish away like smoke. Well, smoke appear right there. In just a matter of split seconds, it's gone. That's the heaven. We don't even know how big it is. That's the heaven. All right. So, come back to the New Testament. Mark chapter 13. Verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And so what is given us here is an absolute awesome size, magnitude of what's going on here. So when it says great, that's the Greek word mega. It's great. And then, of course, white throne. And then verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Well, now that's pretty awesome right there. Exactly how many dead? How many are there? How many have died out of Christ since Adam? Well, we have no way of knowing. I mean, you can get all the estimates you want and still be way short of it. Of how many? Well, but they're all going to be there. Now, imagine this. How many people have been just burned up? Not just cremated, like they're doing now so much, but I'm talking about burned up in fires. Well, when the two buildings were destroyed by the Muslims in New York City, the two World Trade Centers, near 3,000 people died. And from what I can gather, they didn't find many of them at all. Didn't find many pieces of them. They were just crushed out of existence. What about all those people? Are they figured in here? Yeah. Yeah. I think I mentioned this to you once before, but have you ever read anything about the Bataan Death March? See, you know, we got whipped by the Japanese in the Philippines to start with. Well, because we wasn't ready for war. We had soldiers there, but didn't have nearly enough, because you had a Democrat presidency, but we didn't have nearly enough to fight. No one was going to war. And the Japanese took over the Philippines. You can find this out from history books if you read it. And they, all the American and British soldiers that were there, and I'm sure there's plenty of others there, but all of them, they had to go from the southern part of the Philippines to the northern part. And it was a death march. Now, y'all think about it. You kids, you think about this. These men had to march. They didn't have any food. They got Japanese soldiers with bayonets. If they run, they shoot them. And if you're sick, you got malaria, dysentery, and they probably about all of them had that from those jungles. You're weak. You got it. Losing it on both ends, puking another end too. You think you feel bad here? Think of what they did. And no hope of anything. And they're marching all those soldiers. And if you happen to fall down, you can't reach down and pick them up. And by the time all of those soldiers march on top of you, they grind them down into the mud. It was muddy. And all you could see was like a shadow of a human body. It was a real human body. But it was completely mashed down in the mud. Of course, they're dead. I don't know how many there were, but there, however many there were, there wasn't but just a fraction that survived the death march. We used to have a fellow that was a member here that had survived the Bataan Death March. Bill Fish's brother, Ed Fish, and you couldn't hardly get him to talk about it, but he was one of the few survivors of it. But, I mean, it was just horrible. Now, that's only one example. How about all those, the Jews, that they arrived at Auschwitz in boxcars, train track. They came in the gate and they left in the chimney. They gassed them, put them in the crematories, and they left out the chimney. And so that's, what about all them? They're all included here. What about how many died? How many went down on the Arizona? They just sealed it over. They didn't try to get the bodies out of there. All those bodies in the Arizona, of course, by now there's no, I don't guess there's much left of them at all. But all those sailors that went down with the Arizona, and I don't know how many others went down in Pearl Harbor there when they bombed them. What about, you name the ships that went to the bottom. In the Atlantic, the U-boats. How many of our ships did they torpedo, and the whole ship with crews and all down? Well, some places in the ocean, Pacific and Atlantic. You're talking about thousands of feet, if not miles down. Ain't nobody gonna get those out of there. What happened to all those bodies? How many did the sharks feed on? How about that? Sharks feed on them. They're human bodies, human beings. What about those? They're all in here. They're all figured in here. How many billions of people are in here? Look, and I saw the dead. Now, there's a general number, a generally big number, small and great. Well, small and great would be the comparison, VIPs and peasants. Small to small would be, don't amount to nothing. There's lots of people don't amount to anything in this world. You know, there's lots. Look at all the people living on the streets in San Francisco, living on the streets in Los Angeles, living on the streets in New York City. I don't know if we've got any living on the streets in Lexington, do we, Dave? All right. What do those people mean to you? Do you want to go and fellowship with them? Nobody wants to. I don't know why they're there. They're there because they're insane or because they're drug addicts, alcohol addicts, drunks. I don't know why they're there. Or just so lazy they won't work. I don't know why they're there. They're there for some odd reason, living on the streets. What about those that die in dumpsters? There's lots of people die in dumpsters. You know, dumpster, like we've got out back here? They got no place else to sleep, so they climb in a dumpster and get out of the cold. And then they go to sleep and don't wake up, and there's that dumpster done dumped into the trash can, the trash truck, and that press has done killed him. I can't think of his name, but I knew him. Brother talks about him. He used to be a fireman. He was doing real well and got to drinking. I guess drugging too. I don't know what all he did. But he lost everything, became a bum, a street bum, and slept in a dumpster. And before he could wake up, that dumpster done been emptied and he was crushed in it. That's where they, what a way to end up. Who cares? I mean, maybe he had some family. I don't know whether he did or not. How many of those people? I've seen them all over. I've seen them in the Philippines. I've seen them in China, in Hong Kong. I've seen them all over. I've seen them in Romania, Brazil. I saw people in Brazil living on the streets down there. Never seen anybody that dirty in my life. But they're human beings. Whether anybody cares anything about them or not, or whether they care about themselves or not, they're human beings. And they're all going to be here. When he said, I saw the dead Small and great. That's who he's talking about. No wonder he said the great white throne judgment. No wonder it's big. They're all resurrected now. Even those that are trampled down in the mud. Nothing. Nothing left. For standing before God, resurrected. So how's God going to get all that straightened out? I don't know. You'll have to ask Him. But I'm sure He'll have it straight. I'm sure He won't have anybody's body dust mixed up with somebody else's. And the books were open. Are there literally books? I kind of think there are. And another book was open. Well, now, which books? I think one book will be here is the book of the law. Because I believe the whole human race is going to be judged by that law. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Look at chapter 3 of Revelation. Verse 5, he that overcometh his name, or the same, shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Chapter 13. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now who's that? Well, verse chapter 13, talking about the beast comes up out of the sea. And the false prophet. And you worship him, the beast. And who's going to do it? All those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now look at chapter 17. Verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So there is the book of life. Now, when was that book of life filled up? Before the foundation of the world. Who filled it up? God did. And one thing God does not have, an eraser. So I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. They're going to be judged according to their works. But now there aren't any works that are godly. Not amongst these group. None at all. So, well, didn't they do anything right? Well, the book of Proverbs says, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, you couldn't get a much more neutral work than plowing a field. Everybody could say, well, maybe old Bloomberg couldn't, but anybody else could say, there is honorable work, plowing a field. Whether you got, I saw one day in Pulaski County, down outside of Somerset. I actually did see it. There was an old farmer with bibbed overalls on, and he had one of those one-man plows, got just one blade on it, got a wheel on the front of it, you know, one man like that. And I guess it was his wife. She had a big old long dress on, the bonnet. He had her hooked to it. He was back here, she was pulling it. I wished I had a camera. Boy, you talk about getting some publicity on that Facebook, man. I mean, he had his wife hooked to that plow. Yes, she had her old bonnet on, just like, it could have been out of 200 years ago. she's hooked to it. Anyway, but even that, if that old farmer was not doing that to ultimately honor the Lord, no faith in God, that was a work of sin. Amen. Now, people can't understand that. So, well, what about good things that people do? It's good for society and good for them that they do them, but they don't count anything on God's book. They just don't count anything. They don't count that for them, nor do they count for us. They don't count for our salvation. They may count for reward, but that's by grace also. So, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Now, I knew of a Southern Baptist Sunday school, ladies' Sunday school. And the ladies' teacher was attempting to teach the book of Revelation. Of all things, she was attempting. She probably shouldn't have been teaching them at all. But do you know what their discussion was? When this says the sea gave up the dead which are in it, do fish have souls? That was their discussion. How could you go that far astray on that? The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Are there dead human beings in the ocean? Well, no telling how many there are. I mean, lots of people have died in the ocean. Lots of people. And you don't recover those bodies. I was aboard my ship 3 years, and we had several man overboards. Never one time ever recovered one. Not one time. Did y'all ever have that, brother? Well, we had several. Man overboard. Of course, you recognize the drill and the alarm, all that sounded. As if man is overboard, as soon as that captain gets the word on the bridge, he needs to know whether that came from the port side or from the starboard side. So port side's the left, starboard side's the right. If he fell over on the right-hand side, then what he would immediately do, emergency stop all the engines and start going in a complete 360-degree circle that way. Or if it's on that side, go back that way. But all emergency stop. Well, we had, on a carrier, we had four screws or propellers. They're huge things. You could lay them out flat. You couldn't get more than one of them in this whole area. and they're out of solid bronze is what they're made out of. Don't tell them what they cost. I don't know what they cost. But we had four of them on our ship. Well, can you imagine the turbulence that they put out? Had 2 4-bladed and 2 5-bladed. And they use those in maneuvering, all getting the ship and all that stuff. But anyway, you talk about a big deal. Well, if somebody gets knocked over, well, we'd have them refueling other ships. We carried enough to refuel the tankers. And they'd take those big 6-inch suction hoses. It looked like garden hoses hanging up, but they're 6-inch wire, big. And then one particular time we're refueling, and it was kind of rough seas. So that's why they got so much slack there. But what it went way beyond, and the ships came apart, and one of the hoses, the big fuel hoses, we're pumping from our side. That's where the pressure is. And they parted. And that hose, 6-inch hose, under pressure. You know what a garden hose would do like that? And it swept everybody off that fuel deck. I don't know, it was 3 or 4 went overboard. Well, before they could even get the word to the wheelhouse, and then they've got to get the word to the engine rooms to cut the power, all stop. Well, that ship's already passed over them. Those 4 screws already passed over them. There's nothing left to find out. They never got those. We've had others. We was on our way to Australia and had 2 or 3 of them. Never ever heard from them again. Do everything you can. Launch helicopters and all that. But you think it's not rough to find somebody in the ocean with all them waves and all that? You think it's easy? Why? It's real, real rare if you could ever see it. Then they'd have to have all that gear on. Well, they get knocked over the side. They don't have all that gear on. They don't have all that stuff. So, yeah, lots and lots of people died in the ocean. Well, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. All those dead bodies. Whether sharks ate them or anything else ate them. And you know what happens to them then. But those human beings, they're not lost. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That's the grave. And the place of suffering where the rich man went. And in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. That's hell. They're still burning there right now. But on this day, after the millennial reign, and all this is over with, death and hell delivered up. Hell is going to be empty. And all those people be resurrected with an indestructible body. And they're going to stand before God. The graves, the bodies that are still in the graves, they will open up. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. All the contents of hell. Now, I don't know the place of hell, but the contents of hell be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Pretty final, folks. Pretty final. That's what the outcome is going to be from the great white throne. And then they had that little old thing that they passed around, all of them went crazy over, that way to witness the lost people. Well, ought to be witnessing, but you don't need some heretic telling you how to witness. So you're supposed to ask them, when you stand before God and God asks you, why should I let you in my heaven? What are you going to say? Well, God's not going to ask you such a thing. There's not going to be any dialogue before God. There'll be one speaking, and that's God. And not deciding anything, determining anything about you, just telling you what your judgment is. And that's all that will be there. So you can't witness the truth by starting off with a lie, in my opinion. Let's all stand.